Good. I'm Pastor Peter Jibia from Liberia, West Africa.
God bless you, Peter.
And I'm glad to be in the United States to share my ministry with friends and tell you what the Lord is doing on the other side of the globe.
Amen.
God is just everywhere. He has removed that partition, you know. There's no Jews, there's no no Gentiles, no black, no white. And now we all are brothers, you know, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so I'm glad when I come to the United States, I have come to my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You know.
Okay,
as we continue, that is my wife, Ellen Jibia. We've been married for 27 years. Yeah. And we have three kids, Precious. She's 26, and she's in the medical college. And then Shadrach, he's 15, and he's in eighth grade. And Emmanuel, he is 22, and he's doing 11th city. And that's my wife, and that's myself. And I didn't give you a smile, you know. I was about to do that when the guy just left me. So. Okay. Well, I'm going to do for you a song. This song is entitled Jesus Got Hold of My Life. You know, by December 14, 1972 was the time I accepted Christ. And my parents have been, you know, with the Baptist missions. And I grew up with my parents, and so they brought me up and taught me the things of God. And so since that time, I decided, you know, to remain in the grip of Jesus Christ because he's my Lord, he's my God, he saved me. And without him, I'm nothing. And so I, let me see. So I sing the song, Jesus Got Hold of My Life. Jesus got hold of my life, and he won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, he got into my soul. I used to be so sad, but now I'm just free and glad. Cause Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. First time I remember how I used to be living in sin. I put on a lot of bed a day, but I wasn't with me. I put a lot of frame of mind, and I told him I had peace of mind. But I never had that peace until one day when I let Jesus in. So Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, he got into my soul. I used to be so sad, but now I'm just free and glad. For Jesus got hold of my life, and he won't let me go. Are you tired in the endless storm, just fooling around? You try to out happy and free, but now getting the ground. When I come to the Lord today, in asking in your heart to stay, then you will never know that Jesus is the only one that you have. Jesus got a hold of my life, and He won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, He got into my soul. I used to be a suicide, but now I'm under free and glad. But Jesus got a hold of my life, and He won't let me go. Cause Jesus got a hold of my life, and He won't let me go. Cause Jesus got a hold of my life, and He won't let me go. I hail from Liberia, which is in West Africa, and Liberia was founded in 1816 by the American Colonization Society. At the time, all slaves were, you know, made to be, to be free and go back. You know, there was what we call the Emancipation Proclamation, signed by William Wilberforce. In England at the time, and then by the time they get here, it was almost 1862, 1863, and during the administration of Abraham Lincoln, and then he pushed that. But during these years, you know, slaves were free to go back to their motherland, and so people, the slaves that initially came to America, they were made to go back, and this is how they founded the colony of Liberia. So, so you will see that the flag of Liberia, you know, resembles that of the United States. The reason is that our founding fathers, they all came from America and they went back, and so most of the thing we do back there is modeled, you know, after that of the United States. So, you see that. Then the country has 3.7 million people and covers an area of 43,000 square miles. And Christianity is the main faith, even though it includes Catholics and Pentecostals. And those are the internal problems, you know, that we are confronted with, because when you are, you know, preaching the message, and there are people, you know, that what we call prosperity message, you know, and they begin to dumb the entire thing, then, you got a problem. We get problem from outside, that is the Muslim, then we get problem from within, that is Pentecostals, Catholics, but this is how it is. And the percentage of Muslim in Liberia is 30%, and they are coming. And the reason for this is that our country is bordered by Guinea, which is predominantly of Muslims, you know, okay? And we are praying that the church is going to take root in every part of Liberia and make sure that the Muslims will not, you know, take a foothold. Because when they do, it becomes so desperate because they terrorize every land that they go in, okay? So we want for you to pray with us, as we are in the church planting business. Our president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, she is the first woman president in Africa. And of course, the former government is democratic, and we speak English. And sometimes, you know, our English, you know, does not seem to be correct, you know? But we speak some kind of English, you know, that people will understand, you know. Okay. And the Unity Baptist Church, Unity Baptist is the church that I pastor. And that church was established when I was in seminary. I graduated from the Liberia Baptist Theological Seminary. And then I established, you know, that church. And here is the church. And it's a very huge church. And we pray to God so that it will be completed. Okay. And within the structure, there is where we meet. There is where we meet. And this old building is about to fall. But the hand of the Lord is still holding it. And then we are praying that we will complete that. And before I came, we got some money and we started to do the work. The work on the building, you know, has resumed and we're working. We are depending on God for the finishing of that building. And that's what it, it costs. But we know that the Lord is going to provide. And our ministry is specifically, you know, on church planting. We evangelize and then we plant church. What happened here is that when you just go on evangelizing and then without establishing a church, then you leave, it's like it's like sheep among wolves, you know. So what? Yeah. So what we do here is we survey the place and then go into the place and have fellowship with the people and then we establish church. Now here across a river, certain river, we'll soon go to that. We are going there, but as we go, the road is so bad, and you see, we hire a bus or charter a bus. But when we got to the place, the bus, you know, got stuck in the mud. So the driver tells us, now you have to get down and walk. Now, we call it move forward. We call that pay to walk. Okay, now as you are moving, when the bus gets stuck in the mud, the driver tells you, you all get down and walk. Sometimes you walk 1 mile or 2 miles, even though you pay already. So we call that pay and walk. Okay, you see? Yeah. You see, the people, they listen back, you know, from the bus and they're walking. But we are going to, across the river. Now, the guy that you see in there is me. Okay? Now here's the drama about the whole thing. Now, I'm taking a lot of people across the river to the new place to have fellowship and then see how we can establish a church. But when we got to the river, this river is a third largest river in Liberia, and this river is infested with all kinds of dangerous creatures, crocodiles, boa constrictors, you know, snakes and hippo and so on. But when we got to the river, my members, the people I'm carrying, they told me, Pastor, you have to serve as a sacrifice. It means that get in the boat first. And go across and you're crossing the river without any harm will give us the assurance to follow you. Okay? So one of the villagers is taking me across the river and everybody is watching whether a crocodile is going to, you know, get me in the river. And if that happens, then everybody goes back. Okay. So now when we got to the town, we got to the village, they receive us well, and the women they preparing some, you know, good Baptist food, and we call that fufu. It is obtained from cassava, and that is the fufu they prepare in there for a big fellowship, and then we can go into, you know, some other things. Now after 1 or 2 days in a village, we managed to talk to the chiefs and elders, and then they agreed to give us 50 acres of land for $2,200. Okay, 50 acres of land for $2,200. And they say, okay, what we're going to do is that we will temporarily survey the place. So they are surveying the place, trying to put in, you know, in the ground cornerstones, and that is what the chief is doing there. Okay. Now, at the time, we did not have the $2,200, but this is what we did. We said, well, we want to strike a deal with you. And that deal is We want to build our pastor house in order to serve as a guarantor, you know. Okay. Now the reason here is that 50 acres for $2,200 is unbelievable. And the Muslims or Catholics or other people, they could come and offer huge money and they take the land away. So to secure it, we decided to use that strategy. We want to build our pastor house first, okay, to show that we want the land. So the chief, you know, elders, they all agree and we build the pastor house, okay? And now, that is Pastor Alexander Gofar and his family. Now, he is one of the villagers, but we taught him the scripture for some time because he can best reach to his people. He understands them, you know, and he is there presently nurturing the new church that we have planted. And we also have a Bible school. Now, the reason we have Bible school is to teach our own people, okay? This is the construction that is going on. One of our pastors, through International Gospel Missions, provided the money for the Bible school to be built all the way in the jungle. So we built this Bible school because our ministry is to the interior people, and then we want to train our own pastors that will be efficient to go in the villages, you know, and tell people about Christ. So this is what we're doing. And the Bible school has been completed, and then we have about 25 pastors, a couple, in the Bible school. And then every weekend, we drop them to various villages, you know, to various preaching points. And then that is an assignment that at the end of their course of study, that preaching point will be eventually, you know, be transformed into a church. So by the time they get through with their course of study, you know, after 2 years, then 25 churches will be established, you know, at the same time. So this is what we're doing. Now, these are some of the Bible school men in the village. They are prepared to go in the various hamlets and villages and tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, each of them is assigned to a village, you know, as a preaching point. Okay. And sometimes what we do here is we bring the Bible school outside to the people. Now, in the village, many of the villagers, sometimes they think that it is something mystical, you know, when you in the Bible school. So we say, no. What we're going to do is that we have an outdoor lecture in which we invite all of the chiefs and the villagers, and they come, and we give them the opportunity to ask questions and so on. And so this is one of the forums that we have in here. And at the end of this forum, some of them, you know, make up their mind to be part of the Bible school. Okay, then of course, we have the importance, you know, of partnership. Now here, Pastor Rush Alexander, he's the one who provided the money for the Bible school. And the 2008, Pastor Gary, you know, and about five other men, they came for our conference, our annual conference. It was during this conference, the Michael Crocodile Hunter Dundee, you know him, okay. He's here, you know, having the crocodile ears in, okay. Now, at night, during that conference, we have a campfire, and everybody went around singing, praising the Lord, you know, just to bring people together in the villages. So we all were around this, you know, campfire. Okay. And of course, the people in the village, you know, love the American people, love the pastors. I mean, and they say, well, this is a great experience, you know, for the white man to leave his home to come in Black Africa and then become our friend. We know that when you are in Jesus Christ, there is no division, you know. So it was a day of sweet fellowship. And at the end of that conference, a baptism is going on. and Pastor Rex Alexander is baptizing, and then a lot of people were baptized, you know, at this time. Okay. Then, presently we have eight, you know, churches. Okay, but only two, you know, we could show here because we don't want to take long in our presentation. So there is Pastor Brown and his wife by their church, and that is the Calvary Unity Baptist Church. And this Pastor Moses Down, and he and his congregation, that is the Antioch Unity Baptist Church. And of course, the women in the Unity Baptist Church, you know, have their own training conference and women teaching women. Here is one of their conferences, and they have the women, you know, teaching their fellow women. And ministry, you know, also has needs, and we have personal needs also. Those are our needs. We just want for you to look at those and then just pray with us, so that God is going to, you know, provide those needs. It is not for us, but for the name of Jesus Christ and for His kingdom, you know, to spread. It is our work for us to depopulate the kingdom of the devil and then populate the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, to do that, we have to, you know, be equipped. We have to be efficient, and so that we will go. Okay. Our ultimate objective is to glorify God in all that He is, or in all that He represents, all that He is. You know, God is a great God.
Yes.
You know, whether you believe it or not, you're a great God.
Amen.
You see, you're a great God. He still remains great. You know. Okay. Now I'm going to do this other song entitled Walk in the Lonesome Valley. When I came to Christ, my mother was always by my side telling me, you know, about Jesus Christ. Then one day, she took sick and she was about to die. And this is the message that she gave me. And not to forget this message, I decided to compose a song, you know, so that it will always be fresh on my mind. Okay. The lonesome valley we had a walk with Jesus Christ. There's nobody else to walk for. We have to walk with Jesus Christ. Oh, let us walk the lonesome valley. We have to walk with Jesus Christ. There's nobody here to walk for. We have to walk with Jesus Christ. Then my mother said, when she was dying, just before she passed away, she said, come here, son, and stand beside me. And you got to listen to what I say. So you got to walk the lonesome valley. You got to walk with Jesus Christ. There's nobody here to walk for you. Cause you got to walk with Jesus Christ. Cause you got to walk with Jesus Christ. You got to walk with Jesus Christ. We're walking in the Luzon Valley. We depend on Jesus Christ because he's an unseen, you know, friend that is by our side. Well, I just want to share with you two or three minutes, you know. Okay. No. You know what happened? Let me tell you something. You know, when I got to America, somebody told me something about Americans. They said that you have to be very careful because they are time-conscious people. Okay? And so when you are given the privilege to talk, you have to be brief, be to the point, and be gone. You know? And so I'm going to take your time, you know. I'm not going to take all of your time. I will be brief. I will be to the point, and then you will see me off. Okay?
Americans are good at two things.
Yeah.
You can wait and hurry up and get home to do nothing. But allow God to move you.
Okay. Thank you. Well, Jesus Christ, you know, in his discourse, one of his discourses with his disciples, he had this to say. Say, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you might go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. There are a couple of things, you know, in this passage of scripture I want to share with you briefly before we can leave. First, he says, you have not chosen me. Now, at the time, Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples. He said, it is I who chose you. Okay? I chose you for ministry. I chose you to go into the world and tell, you know, the world about the good news that I have brought. Okay, but that does not stay there. He was speaking also to generations that will come, including you and including me. So the fact of the matter here is that we did not choose Jesus. We did not make a choice of him. But rather, when we were disobedient, when we were a rebellious people, when we did not have anything to do with God, that is the time Jesus Christ left his comfort zone. He came down on earth, come seeking for us. And so the fact here is that Jesus, you know, he loves us in every way. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet rebellious, we were yet sinners, we didn't have anything to do with him, we didn't even want to obey him, he came searching for us in the rubbles, in the ruins of sins, you know, and then he saved us.
Amen. Glory to God.
So that is very important. And because of this, we had to go anywhere he wants us to go.
Amen.
You know, my loyalty, my allegiance to Jesus Christ does not depend on what he's going to give me today. No, he has done it. Amen. On the cross of Calvary. Amen. So whether I ask him for help and I don't get it, I stay loyal to him. Whether I ask him for those things that I have come to share with you and I don't get it, I stay loyal to him because of what he did for me on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Okay? He chose me. I didn't choose him. That is the kind of love that he had for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, the best in God's warehouse was what he took up and gave. You know, no man would just buy a new car and give it to his friend. No. Okay? Sometimes when you ask somebody for something, he wants to give you something that he had used already. But God did not do so. God took his best and gave his best to us.
Amen.
So that in return, what are we doing for him? What will we give to him? You know. And not only that, but he said, and I ordain you. Ordain here is to be set apart. Okay? Set apart for a purpose. Now, for a purpose. God did not just choose us. Jesus Christ did not just choose us, but he chose us for the purpose. Okay? Now, it means that you and I are not here by accident. Okay? We are not here by accident. Sometimes I ask a question, you know, somebody. I say, now, tell me this. What is in the world that man has ever made that he had no reason for making? Can you think of anything? Now, this blackboard, man made it with a reason on his mind, you know, to write on it. Man made these chairs to sit. Man made the pen, you know, to write with. Man made a shirt to wear, the guitar, to play. Everything that man has ever made and manufactured, he made for a reason. But then wait a minute. How much more? Our God, who is all wise, and more than man, who is sinful, if man can make something with a purpose on his mind, do you think God will create you and create me without any reason? There is a reason for us being here. There's a reason for us being here. We're not here by accident. You know, but man has tried to divert our attention from the fact that God is the creator and want to turn it to evolution, you know. And they will give all sort of theories. But those theories cannot be proven. Okay? They can't be proven. You see? So Jesus Christ says, I ordain you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Now, what is the fruit? The fruit is our response to the call of Jesus Christ. Those things that we're going to do, those ones that we present us as Christians, our life, the way of living. Okay? The way of living. Now, what we say behind the pulpit, or what we say in the church, what we sing in the church, should commensurate with what we do outside there. Amen. It will make the world, you know, to be changed. And I always had this little story, you know, about a man who one day he went in the pet shop. This man went in the pet shop to buy a cat. He bought this cat, he paid. And while he was looking around in the pet shop, the man from whom he bought it, instead of putting the cat in the box, he sneaked in your door and he sealed it up. When the man got back, he said, are you ready? He said, yeah, your cat is in there. So he took the bag and went home, called his wife, honey, I got a cat. Good. Let's open the box. They opened the box and there sat a dog. Man, he was furious. Furious. So he went back to the pet shop and he dashed the bag, you know, on the counter, and he was quarreling as he was moving around. This man knew what had happened. So while he was moving around, he cleverly opened the bag and took out the door and put in your cat, you know, quickly. And he asked the man, but why did you bring the bags back? So, but you put in the door. He said, no, that's a cat. So he came. When he opened it, there was a cat sitting there. They said, no, I can't believe this. It was a dog. I said, no, it's a cat. I said, well, let my cat stay in there and seal it up. So he said, okay. So while he was playing some game, taking time to seal it up, now in the pet shop, they get a whole lot of, you know, good things, other pets there, and this man was anxious to see them. When he turned around, the guy took out the cat again and put in the door and seal it up. By the time he came, you know, he was in a hurry. He said, I got everything prepared ever since. You can take it home. He said, okay, good. So he took it home. Went home, he said, well, honey, this time I brought the real cat. So, okay. When they opened it, there sat a dog. So this is what a man said. He looked at the dog and said, if you want to be a dog, be a dog. If you want to be a cat, be a cat. But you can't be a cat at a pet shop and be a dog at my house. Okay? Now, many people, when they come to church, they are Christian. But they go out, their identity changed because they wrap themselves around with the world. And then nobody knows whether they were ever Christian. So you want to be a Christian, you just be a Christian, just anywhere. You be a Christian here, when you go home, be a Christian. But you can't be a Christian and then be an unbeliever outside there. Jesus Christ said, let your fruit remain. Okay? And that whatsoever Ye eyes of the Father, Imani, he may give it to you. When we continue with Christ, we will have no problem.
Amen.
You know, we will have no problem. No matter what the problem is, whether in our bad days, in our good days, Jesus Christ will always be with us. You know, when I came, there are a whole lot of problems, you know, I found that is erupting in the whole world, and America is not, you know, absent from this. From the news, Bible cannot be read again in school. You cannot say, you cannot end your prayer with Jesus Christ. They have now crossed Jesus Christ out of Christmas. Instead of Christ month, they say X month because they don't want to see Jesus Christ there. And all of these things. But you know the trouble? When 9/11 took place, I heard George Bush saying something. It was fine. He said, they may shake our big buildings, but they cannot shake the foundation of America. To some extent, there is truth in it because America is potent when it comes to military, you know. But there's a little mistake there that he didn't see. There is something more than atomic bombs, something more than nuclear missile that can tamper with the foundation of this country. It will remove God from the foundation. If you remove God from the foundation of any country, of any nation, that nation cannot stand.
Amen. Right.
That nation cannot stand. No matter how great the nation is. Okay? Now, if you want to ask me, I will tell you, I got a witness. Sodom and Gomorrah, where are they?
Amen.
Where is Greece? Where Persia? The great nations. Babylon. We can trace them. Because they remove, you know, the solid rock. The solid rock on which everything is built. When that solid rock is removed from your foundation, it is detrimental. Sin is a reproach to any nation.
Yes.
You know. Because I don't think that the founding fathers of this nation will be pleased on those things that are happening. Approving gay marriage and, you know, and all sort of things. The people who founded this nation have some godly, you know, mind. And you can see that on some of those buildings, you know. The money that you use is in God we trust, you know. In my country, we call American money Christian money. Okay? The song that they wrote in Tom Pies, the father, one of your songs, mine country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty of thee I sing. Long may our land be bright, with Christian holy light, protect us by our might, great God our King.
Amen.
Our Father God to thee, author of liberty to thee we sing. You see that?
Amen.
Now, I just want to stop right there. But listen to the song your forefathers, you know, composed.
Yes.
Our Father God to thee, you are the one to whom we sing. And let our land be bright. Continue to be bright. But how will this land be bright when you remove God from your foundation? My country did it, and we went through 14 years of civil war. Okay? So I just want to thank God that I have the privilege to come and share with you. But I will do this last song. And I want for you to pray with me, and I also will be praying with you for what is happening. Okay? What is happening? Before we just came, I was watching the TV, and a man, he was ex-terrorist, but he has become a Christian. He's a Muslim. Okay, I was just watching him, and he had a book, and he called it Islamophobia, so something like that. And that book say last warning to America.
Right.
The Muslims, they are above, you know, to strike. And America doesn't know, throwing her arm, you know, around Islam and all the kind of stuff, you know. So we will be praying with you. We'll be praying with you. Indeed, there are still good men in the land.
Amen.
Good men here. Good men. You know, Abraham asked the angel, when you find 50 persons, will you still destroy? He said, no. 40, will you destroy? No. You still have people here. And because of the faith of those people, God is preserving this land. But we have to be careful at the same time. This same Jesus.
This is Jesus, the walk of Galilee. This is Jesus, the man the blind to see. This is Jesus, the man of the cripple to walk. This is Jesus, can make you whole again. This is Jesus, the walk of Galilee. This is Jesus, made the blind to see. This is Jesus, who made a cripple to walk. This is Jesus, can make you whole again. Let us pray, old America, sweet land of little day. Can you see you are dying? Just you all of the day. Why not come to Jesus, teach him show life today? As a day, same Jesus can make you whole again. Day, same Jesus who walk on Galilee. Day, same Jesus who made a blind to see. This is Jesus, who made our cripple to walk. This is Jesus, can make you whole again.